And there was a firefight!
Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Fuck up, Schuster.
There's the laughter. We always start on Leander's laughter. All right.
Wait, we've started?
Yeah, it started.
Oh, okay. Great.
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls. Our new Capes and Scowls with a brand new number one. Why is there a brand new number one? Lou, tell them why.
There was some problems with the internet tubes.
The internet tubes got tangled. They were tangled in a knot. You couldn't get all the blood flow to the interwebs. So we relaunched with a new site, capesandscowlspodcast.com. And I feel like we wouldn't have restarted with a brand new number one, except the interweb tube crapped out on episode 52, which in comic world means you need to reboot and retcon everything. So now Lou is black, I'm gay, and Leander's an asshole. Schuster's not here.
Hi.
So, shut up!
Why did we make this happen?
It happened. So, it's the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Hopefully this is available easily and attainable to everybody.
Hooray.
Around the 4th of July.
America!
America!
So, everybody, tell everybody who you are. In case anybody's finding us for the first time on episode one, sort of, mm-hmm. of Capes and Scales.
Hey, my name's Lou, and that's it.
Sweet.
Short and sweet. Okay. This is Leander. Yeah. And just know, if this is your first time, I love you already.
Oh, shit. I can't promise that I love you. I am Tim. And with us today is our fan of one, our special audience. We gave him special instructions not to talk. So
it's not going to happen.
A fun game to play at home is count how many times we yell at Schuster during the podcast.
It'll be a lot.
It'll be quite a bit. But Schuster is our audience of one. Say hello, Schuster.
Hi, everybody.
You don't have to wave. They can't see you.
This is the most painful thing
Lou
I've done
doesn't
in a long
like my
time.
Voices, so we're going to do a lot of them today.
Shut the fuck up, Schuster. That's one, people. Follow the bouncing ball. All right, so we do have a Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. There's a Twitter, which is pretty much a clone of our Facebook. You don't have to check that out as much, I guess. And that's about it. So, like I said, new website, capesandscowlspodcast.com. And let us know what you think of the new site. So, we're going to lead off with a bunch of little short news stories here, and they're almost all movie-related or TV-related, and it seems like that's all you can ever find on comics anymore, is what's going on in the cinematic world. So the first thing is fairly exciting to somebody like me. Batman 66, Adam West, the old Batman. All 120 episodes will be released in November of 2014 for the very first time on Blu-ray, DVD, and in HD. All new special features, the classic Adam West Batman. Lou?
Well, I mean, I do have fond memories of watching that as a kid. I don't feel like it's something I would really watch now. However, if the special features include, like, Adam West coked out and yelling at the directors or something, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Leander, were you a big fan of this show?
I never watched it.
What?
Yeah, sorry about that. I think I might have saw like a something on Nickelodeon. Maybe they do reruns, right?
I think it was on Nickelodeon.
There we go. Yeah, I think I saw one of those.
This show is awesome, and it pretty much saved DC Comics at one point because nobody was paying attention to Batman or Superman or any comics, and everybody, all of a sudden Batman's on TV every week, pulled all the kids in. Mm-hmm. Kids kept reading into the 70s and 80s, and that was your core demographic when things like The Dark Knight Strikes Back and Watchmen and all those kind of things came out. So that's why this is like one of the key shows and key moments in DC history, actually, was Batman 66. It's been, people have wanted it forever. It was tied up in copyright hell and who owned what and who would do what, and nobody cooperated. I think only Adam West ever wanted it out. And yeah, it's a fun show. I love, one of my favorite things about this show is he took this show, and Adam West was going to be offered, I think, James Bond. I don't know which James Bond was at the time, but he passed on it ultimately.
I think the only thing I don't like about it is that, like you said, I guess it was tied up or whatever, but it seems like it's already, it missed the boat already. Like, there was a Batman period, and Batman period's gone, is what I feel. Like, there's no, like, hype around Batman right this very moment. Like, there, whereas the Dark Knight series was really popular, and that would have been a good time to, like, just throw something retro out. But I don't know, I could be wrong.
I think that the group of people who want to buy this are, like, there's no wrong time. You know what right. I mean? Like, it's been so long, so the people who are waiting for it are still going to be into it. Yep. And even though, like, obviously it's a really cheesy show, but it really did have a lot of impact. Like, everyone knows, like, the sort of cultural things that came from it, and
shark repellent.
Yeah,
shark repellent. Shark repellent.
Two that... hands on the bat rope, Robin.
Yeah. That's code for something.
Yeah. That's where my mind went. I was like, really?
Well, then you would love this
Maybe
show.
Maybe I'll watch
because
the show.
It's nothing but innuendo.
Yes. It seemed pretty flamboyant when I watched it the one time.
I think it's a great show for what it is, and I think it's fun, and I hope everybody goes out and buys it. It's one of those things, half the world probably have been waiting so long, they've all downloaded or bought bootlegs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you support it, and hopefully it does well enough. So next news story is actually G.I. Joe number 3. The third movie is actually going to happen. It was kind of like, meh, maybe, maybe not. And we've talked about it on the podcast, how the first one was garbage and the second one was, eh, okay. What's funny is they lost their original director, which was John M. Shu, who is now doing Gem and the Holograms movie. Oh, how do you feel about Gem and the Holograms?
I'm not okay with that.
Come on, man. They battled the Misfits.
I did. I liked the cartoon. Yeah, all right, man. I like kind of like watched it a couple times, but I couldn't imagine a movie out of it. That's silly. And I can't imagine there's enough fans for
there to be. I can't wait
to
see it. I can't wait to see it.
What are they going
to
do? That's
it doesn't
so
matter.
Silly.
It doesn't matter
like,
at all.
If it's modern, Luke could play the heartthrob in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I just hope that if they make that movie, they play some brutal metal.
Yeah, total metal with the keytar.
Keytar yeah, metal. A little keytar.
I guess Dragon Force-y kind of thing.
Yeah,
with the keytar.
Like, they make it cool. They could make it punk, but they're just going to make it like movie pop. You know, like whenever they make like a movie about a band, it's always like they had some like corporate writer like,
right.
This will be the punky pop song that the band plays. And it's like, what, you fucking wrote that, you goddamn Hollywood suit.
Yeah, they're going to make the
no
movie.
No musician ever touched the song.
Their goal is to make a movie that has a hit song, like that Frozen song that's everywhere.
Yeah,
that's what they're after. They're trying to do that. I would love to see this just to see this. I saw a ton of girl cartoons when I was little because my sister and I were close in age, and it was like, all right, one of yours, one of mine. So I watched a fuck ton of Gem and the Holograms. Yeah. So
the other thing was they were spaced out so that they were either like between or right after, you know, the guy cartoons. And what
three
what,
guy
what
cartoons?
Are you gonna do?
Go take a shit, kid. Come back in a half hour.
Yeah, sometimes you catch a little rainbow bright before G.I. Joe. That's
it
just
happened.
The way
it was. You knew what was going on in her world.
Yeah.
The rainbow was quite bright. So, Paramount has hired Jonathan Lemkin, who did Devil's Advocate and the movie Shooter, to write this movie. And they still have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his character of Roadblock, attached to the movie, and it'll come out in 2016. I like G.I. Joe. I'd never been a big fan of the movies, although the second one was, like, watchable. The first one was garbage. I tell everyone I took Al to that, and Al never let me hear the end of it. But hopefully it does well. More news, Andy Serkis, who is amazing, who is your motion capture god, I guess. What has he been? What's his checklist? He's been like everything ever motion captured. The ape from Planet of the Apes, Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
King Kong.
King Kong. The laundry is done. he has a role, an unknown role, in Avengers. So some people are like, oh my god, it's amazing. And half the people are like, what is he, the Hulk? And no one knows for sure. They're not saying. The teaser has been, he said it's been fun to work with Mark Ruffalo, but I feel like that's meant to be misleading. Because,
And I'm sure it hasn't. I'm sure that's a lie.
Yeah.
Listen to the last podcast, people. Listen to the last podcast.
My feelings on Mark Ruffalo are well documented.
You don't like Mark Ruffalo?
See the last podcast, the last issue of the.
If you listen
the
to
real 52.
Yeah, the real old 52.
Yep, where the Flash ran around the interwebs and tied up the tubes.
You know, I'm pretty good at predicting stuff. I think Abomination. Done.
Abomination. That would be cool.
He was in the first Hulk movie, though, right?
Yep.
They're
yep.
not going to reuse him in Avengers.
I like Tim Roth.
It's a new Avengers, though, with Ruffalo.
Yeah. They could do something big and monstrous to fight the Hulk. Mm-hmm. There's no endless supply of Marvel weird monsters that he could be.
That's the thing is, they have...
No one pointed at you. No, go ahead. Go ahead. As your hand creeps closer to the microphone. Get to the fucking point, Schuster. Worst audience ever.
No respect. No respect.
That's right. Come on, spit up.
The guy who's doing Ultron's voice, what was it, Spader?
James Spader. Yeah,
is supposed to be doing his own motion capture.
Right.
So the theory was that he was going to do Ultron circus. But no, apparently it's going to be Spader doing his own
correct.
Motion capture. So that kind of doesn't leave too many characters that we know of that really need motion capture.
Which is why people are excited, because it's likely something we're not knowing. Exactly. It could be a cameo. He could be something greater for Avengers 3 or some other movie.
He's doing the Hulkbuster.
That actually could be. He could be the Hulkbuster. That would be kind of cool.
Hmm. Or MODOK.
Or MODOK.
All MODOK.
MODOK would be great. He's so good, though, as a motion... The fact that a motion capture man can fucking get the credibility of Andy Serkis is amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Like, when you watch Planet of the Apes, it's like, you see his face in the fucking monkey. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, and he really, like... just dug that role out for himself, because in the Lord of the Rings movies, Gollum was not supposed to be that good.
And
or at least based on... I mean, if you get the DVDs, you see they have like 42 hours of extra material, and you see how shitty Gollum looked before like he started doing his thing with it, and really like just selling the role and getting into it. And it's a good thing he did, because that would have been a very different character if he hadn't kind of stepped up and really just... put his all into that.
Well,
and
in Fellowship, he had that brief moment of like really shitty looking CGI Gollum. In the mines, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's cool. But then you get Circus in Two Towers, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's a good looking Gollum.
Yeah, once he gets into it, he really just kind of made the character what it was, and they had to like sort of retrofit a lot of the CGI to fit around him. So that's really cool, and it's exciting, and I'm a fan.
Cool.
He was also good in The Prestige.
Ah, The Prestige.
He's a good actor, too.
He is.
Just straight-up actor, not even just motion capture.
Motion capture. Not since Mortal Kombat does anybody know what motion capture is. There is a new cast member for the 2015 Ant-Man movie, and it's David Desmalchison. I don't know how to say that.
Try it again.
Desmalchison?
Maybe Desmalchison. No, I can't. You do it.
Where is it?
Machina.
David Desmalchion.
Sure, that's not at all what I was. Alright. Anyways, it's his second comic book movie, because he played a clown in The Dark Knight Returns. It's basically the fact that I saw this
clown
as
number
news,
two.
I saw every news site I went to announce this as like some sort of news, and I'm just like, this is like slow news day news, and I'm like, I want to be a part of that. I'm going to mention it too. So that's all for Ant-Man. I'm still hoping that Moon Knight shows up in Ant-Man.
I know you are.
You know.
Wait, is that really it?
What?
He was a clown and now he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a name.
Yeah. It's just a name. He was a dude. He might be something awesome in this. So
maybe he'll revise his role as clown number 2.
Ooh, clown number 2. Clown number 2. My favorite Batman villain of all time is Bob the Goon.
Bob was a good.
Bob
henchman.
Was great.
He's the guy you want. Like, he put in time.
He put in the time.
He He did.
He put in the time while dancing to Prince and cutting up art.
Yeah, everyone needs everyone needs a bob. If every supervillain had four bobs,
oh, there
would
be,
they would rule the world.
Yeah. You don't need clown number two. You need four bobs. You're right.
You do.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Bob?
Bob the Goon?
Yeah. Who was that?
Watch the Tim Burton original Batman. He's like goon that got like a name. And the fact that there was a Bob the Goon action figure was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. He did a lot. He was flying the helicopter. He was always a right hand.
I remember
man.
Wanting action figures when I was younger, and I'm like, my mom's like, get this Bruce Wayne, you could put the Batman armor on him.
Oh, that took forever, by the way.
It did. But I was like, I want Bob the Goon. She's like, who the fuck is Bob the Goon? No, you're getting Batman, Bruce Wayne, whatever. I'm like, I wanted Bob the Goon. Even at a young age, I knew gooning was my future calling.
Yeah, but that Batman that you had to put the suit on, man, it's like...
It was a pain. It was a cool idea, but it was a pain in the dick. Absolutely. So the next... This is our only, like... We don't have a lot of Marvel news. Agent Coulson and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel movie universe. If you were wondering what would happen now that Nick Fury's kind of out of the picture in the movies, that's what's going to happen. They're making him the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of all fucked up after the last season. Also, the plans are the S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2 for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be split in two, which at first they said they weren't going to do, and now they are. They're going to do the first half, and then they're going to do all of Agent Carter, and then the second half. So it sounds like half a year of just Marvel TV. Yeah, you can talk.
All right.
But now I want you to. It's a rarity.
Well, then.
No, shut up.
okay.
And the last little tidbit here of movie news is Devon Aoki is going to play Katana in the Arrow show, season 3. And she was the original Miho in the first Sin City movie. So she's a good cast for that part. I like that DC's trying to make the character of Katana like a major, more well-known character. She's been like obscure outsider character.
Who is Katana?
She was in The Outsiders.
For us who don't know.
Villain against who, mainly?
I mean,
no one.
Don't know if she's a villain. Don't know if she's considered a hero. She's kind of like that vigilante on the cusp kind of character. She's been both ways. I mean, they added her to that Beware the Batman cartoon that was pretty god awful.
Yeah,
like, instead of there being a Robin, Katana was his sidekick. So they've, like, tried to introduce her. She's a great character. They threw her in one of the Justice Leagues that no one read. So...
What makes her a good character?
She's very skilled with the... She's your basic ninja character, but she kind of doesn't care. She just does what has to be done. She's that kind of character.
Okay.
Plus, a lot of people like her because she started, like, young and grew up into the role kind of thing.
Okay.
So, moving on to more DC news, Deathstroke is going to get his own solo title. And if you're confused, yes, he did have one already, and yes, it did get canceled. So now, I guess, due to his popularity on Arrow, they're going to try it again. Now, I had that book, and I've said it 100 times, I shit-canned it the minute Liefeld went on the book. Because I fucking hate Rob Liefeld. That, I think, killed that book the first go-around. This time it looks like they're doing it right. They got Tony S. Daniel is going to write and draw it, which he is known for Batman. He did all the Batman stuff right before New 52 that a lot of people loved. And then, like, between Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert's stuff, it went to him, and then it went to Snyder and Capullo. He also did the New 52 Detective stuff. If you read the first trades of Detective, he drew and wrote that. And you know how dark some of that is, the Joker cutting off the face, all of that was him. I like him a lot. I'm very excited for this. The picture that they showed for this looked great. He says he will definitely... He feels it's unavoidable to throw Green Arrow and Deathstroke into some sort of combination in his book. He hasn't decided if they're going to be common friends or common enemies. He hasn't decided. Because they've been enemies more times than not. But they also kind of like... They'll work together if they have to kind of thing. But what do you feel? Are you Deathstroke guy at all?
I have never read anything with him, so
no.
Can't Leander? Help you.
No Deathstroke?
No Deathstroke. But he's the guy.
I'm a fan.
Okay, good.
I mean, you were going around the table. You just completely ignored me.
You're a fan,
but...
right? Quiet you.
No, good.
Why are you a fan, Schuster?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Schuster. Why are you a fan?
I like the character. The character's interesting because he doesn't. He's not your straight up like I'm evil. He's there to do a job, and he'll take any just about any job, even if it's from a good guy, right? I mean, he's done that before.
He's done some good things, but he's more often than not. Mm-hmm. I mean, he started off as a Teen Titan villain.
That's what I thought he was. I was confused if that was the guy, because no one talks about Teen Titans now and him.
And that stuff was great. That run of Teen Titans was phenomenal, where Dick Grayson was Robin leading the team, and he became Nightwing throughout the stories. Deathstroke's son was on the Teen Titans. He ends up dying. Deathstroke loses his shit. He tries to murder everybody. That kind of stuff.
But yeah, he's fantastic on Arrow. I think that's...
Yeah, I'm still working on that second season, but...
Continue that work.
I'm working. It's happening. But I'm excited for it. I'll check it out. I don't know if I would add it to a bin, but I like Tony Daniels, so... They're doing things correct, trying to get that popularity of Arrow in their favor. Now, Lou, this is a question for you on our next news story.
Great.
Are you a big Neil Gaiman fan?
I'm not as big as I probably should be. I do like a lot of his stuff, but I also haven't read a lot of his stuff that most people have read.
Okay. He has a novel called American Gods?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar of it.
Okay. It will finally be coming to Stars as a show.
Okay.
It's apparently been in developmental hell since 2011. The novel is apparently, one of his greatest things. I know we always think Sandman and comic stuff.
Yeah, I think that, people, I guess non-comic people instantly think American Gods when they hear his name. I think that's his most influential non-comic work.
Sounds like it. This novel's been translated into 20 different languages, so that's a very good sign. It won the Bram Stoker Award, the Hugo Award, and the Nebula Award for Best Novel of the Year when it came out. It's the story of a character called Shadow Moon, which is this mysterious sort of man who travels the country encountering gods and other folklore kind of critters. So, I don't know a lot about it. I was hoping you knew a lot about it. But
no, I don't.
Neil Gaiman fans will be psyched to hear that.
So it's with moons and dark stuff and deities and all that stuff, like Moon Knight and deities and
just like that.
Shadow Moon and
Shadow
deities.
Shadow Moon!
It's really bad. I think it's really bad that no one at this table's read American Gods. Because it's I don't know. It's really popular.
So. I love Neil Gaiman, but I don't read a lot of his stuff. I have never finished Sandman. I started it, but I've never finished it. Which I know is oh my god. I'll do it, and then we'll do a whole thing on Sandman, and everybody can fuck off, right? So our final news story is, I like this, I'm excited for this. Wonder Woman is getting a new creative team on issue 36, and it's a husband and wife team, which normally I'm like, what? Because I didn't know, the wife is the writer, and I didn't know she wrote it all, but the artist is fantastic. It's Meredith and David Finch. David Finch did Forever Evil most recently. I love him because he did Moon Knight. I love how he did Moon Knight. The gritty, evil 2006 Moon Knight was him. They're going to do Wonder Woman, which Wonder Woman is one of the few DC New 52 books that had the same team up until now. I think Batman was the other one. There's not that many. It had Brian Azzarello, who's known for 100 Bullets, writing the whole time. Very good book. I feel like not enough people read it. It was very focused on the gods in the universe and her relationship with them. So they've already said, our first goal is to separate from the gods. Everybody, it was good, but enough with the gods. Focus on her, how she interacts with both the Amazons and the Justice League. Which is what they should do after 35 issues worth of different gods and different stories, is make her, her more personal life with the humans and the superheroes and the Amazons. So it's a good idea. I'm very excited for it. I've never read anything by Meredith Finch. I don't know if she's written anything. I have no idea. But David Finch is awesome. So that's our news story.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I'll be into that just because it's a husband-wife situation. I mean,
every once in a blue moon.
Really? I've never heard of it personally. But
I can't even think of an example, but I know it's happened. Exactly. Okay. I'm blanking right now.
All right. Well, let me put that in my bin. Maybe.
Nice. I love Wonder Woman as a character.
Yeah, me too. And I haven't read her. Read it.
I'm behind on it. My wife, it's the only book she gets.
Really?
She hasn't read a fucking one since New 52 came out. But every issue is in a short box saved for her. I'm probably going to read it before her. So
I'd be interested in that, too.
Yeah, I love his art. He draws so good. The first little teaser, it may be the cover of 36 that they released, looks really awesome. It's her just standing there, but she's got like all the weapons on the shield, the sword, the rope. Mm-hmm. So
now, will I like the art based on what you know?
Do you like Forever Evil? Did you read Forever Evil? Well, go to Schuster's room and steal all the Forever Evils and check it out and let me know. He doesn't have a weird style. He has that musculature.
I'm okay with that.
He's usually pretty good. A lot of people tend to like
the style. It made Forever Evil really enjoyable though.
Yeah, he's very good. So that's it for news. Does anybody want to go first on telling us about books that they want to review?
I'll go last.
Sweet.
I volunteer to go last.
Well, that makes it easy.
All right, Leander, what do you got?
I'll
do one. What do you got?
All right, yeah, I don't even want to talk about Marvel.
He's going with the Original Sin.
Yeah, I got to keep it going, because really that's the only thing that's important in Marvel right now is Original Sin. So I got to at least keep people updated that it's still active, it's still amazing, it's still something you should pick up.
Hasn't gone where we thought it would
it's
go.
It's not.
It is still good.
Yeah, issue number 5, I was actually shocked by the way that they twisted Nick Fury part of it.
Yes.
I did not see that coming. I was not prepared, and I think that because they still were able to shock me after I knew it was Nick Fury in number 4,
right?
I was happy with that. They still surprised me. And that's what I was looking for in this book, is to be surprised. And that's what they did for me.
I like the pacing of the book, because I'm like, all right, they had so many big reveals in issues 2 and 3, and I'm just like, where do you go for here for the remaining few issues? And it's right. Like, that issue was all Nick Fury, 100% yeah. Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. But you weren't bored. Nope. It explained a lot. There was a lot of throwbacks to different things. You see Howard Stark's in there. You see him in the space armor that Steranko drew on a cover once, like that classic image. They used it.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Aaron is doing a very good job writing this book.
Yeah.
As long as it fucking pays off. Because it's so common in Marvel, in particular with events, to have it be really good and kind of crap out at the end.
Mm.
Now, Lou, you read all of Infinity and you fucking loved Infinity.
I did like Infinity. I
liked it too.
I wouldn't say it's the best thing I've ever read, but I definitely enjoyed it.
That was a very good event. My only complaint with Infinity is you needed to buy so much for it to read correctly. You needed the Thunderbolts issues. You needed the Guardians, whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read a lot of the side stuff, I thought, but I could tell.
I mean, you know,
when they were putting in, because he did a good job of, okay, if you didn't read the side stories, he would kind of sum it up in a way that was still like storytelling without just saying, this is a sum up of all the other books you didn't buy.
Right.
You know, he worked it in so that you said, oh, these guys did this, these guys did this. And at times, maybe seen like a thrown together montage sort of thing.
It was weird. But not bad.
Yeah, but as an event, I think it's definitely above a lot of the recent ones. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it more than Secret Invasion or World War Hulk or a couple others I could mention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody says, and a lot of people say anyway, Civil War is the best Marvel event, and that's probably true in many years.
Yeah.
This one is probably the closest, wouldn't you say, Leander?
Yeah, I would agree.
And when it's all said and done, it could topple Civil War. I really like Civil War.
It depends on how it ends. Yeah. Whoa, it depends on how it ends.
That's saying something.
It's really good.
It's really good, yeah. And this one with Nick Fury, again, it didn't bore you, but I also like got into him a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like something's going to happen. You know how I said before, when the Watcher died, it was like the saddest moment for me, even though I didn't really care about the Watcher before.
Right.
I feel like something's going to happen to Nick Fury, and I'm going to be all emotionally attached to him at the end of this.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that they made you give a shit about the Watcher. Not you, but like everyone, give a shit about the Watcher. Because really, the Watcher shows up at events. He's in there for like a splash page or something in every event, and the What If books. He's not a big deal in regular continuity other than if he shows up, shit's going down.
Yeah, exactly.
So he never did anything other than the What If books. He just showed up and they're like, oh shit, it's the Watcher. Something's going down. Same kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, they did a really good job of making you emotionally attached. And I forget that he had a wife and a kid, so that's, you know, that they throw in those elements too to make it even more so that you're emotionally attached. And yeah, I like the way it's headed so far.
Do you have predictions for where it will end?
No, I always have plenty of predictions.
What is your prediction? I have my prediction. Schuster, I'll hear your predictions. I know you're caught up. But yeah. No, not yet. Go ahead, Leander.
So my guess is that, first is that Nick Fury's going to die. The old Nick Fury.
I agree.
I mean, he's going to die eventually, but I mean, in the book, he's going to die.
And then he'll come back as Black Man. Because we still don't know what color.
Yeah, I don't know where the Black
is.
Fury is. I have no idea where the Black Fury is.
Black Fury's the real Fury. They're just trying to...
That could be what it is. I don't know. I also think that Tony Stark's dad is definitely alive now.
Could be.
I feel 100% sure that he's alive. Yeah.
Schuster, what do you think? Anything? To add to that?
Old Nick Fury is a life model decoy of another Nick Fury.
The black Nick Fury.
He knew he wasn't going to get anywhere, so he made a white Nick Fury back in the racist times.
It makes sense, though.
We won't promote 1940s spy stuff. We're not going to promote the black man to the top director, so he made white man. Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
That's amazing. It was really me the whole time. You racists. You let a robot in charge of the whole damn operation.
Oh, man.
They would have been fine with that back in the day. We'll take a robot over you. Oh, racism.
But I really don't know where this is going to go, honestly. It's been such an enjoyable read that I'm just kind of on it for the ride. I just want to see what happens, not speculate.
I think there has to be some major fucking evil cosmic thing heading our way for all of this. Like, there has to be a foil at the end of this, and it's not Nick Fury.
No, it's definitely not Nick
Fury. Even if Nick Fury ended up evil, he can't be the biggest fucking thing in this story.
No way.
There has to be a Galactus-level evil thing, hopefully not Galactus, coming our way and wreaking all of havoc.
But also someone that uses a gun. Like, that's the weird part, is that there's a gun situation. Like, if it wasn't a gun, then I would feel like, you know, Galactus isn't going to shoot someone in the face. So, like, who is this big villain that uses guns, you know? Like, I don't understand that part
of it. It could just be Fury.
It could have been Fury all this time.
And
maybe that's not the important part. Maybe it's not. Maybe Watcher being dead is not important at all. And like, it's important, but like his death wasn't like the big deal. Like, it's the bigger thing that's coming that's actually the bigger deal. And maybe someone doesn't want him to see what's about to happen.
Sure. And you know, the shadowy figure, we assume it's old Nick Fury. What if it's not? What if that's... Right. Black Nick Fury, model decoy. What if it's something like that, though? They haven't revealed that he is definitely that figure
that's been
sending the teams on the different missions.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You would assume so, though.
You would assume so, but that would be the great twist if, like, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, old Nick Fury dying is not the important thing here at all.
But the fact that they put a whole issue about Nick Fury,
I loved it. It explained everything.
That was to get you emotionally attached to him.
Good. Yeah. I hope they kill him. I think that would be a great thing for the continuity.
Actually kill him this time.
Actually kill him. You can have the fucking robot decoy things. That's not a problem. So.
Okay. All
right. So anything else on Original Sin before I move on?
Absolutely fantastic. Go read it.
Okay. I brought Outcast number one.
I haven't even read it yet.
Yeah, you suck. Image, brand new number one by Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead and Invincible fame. This book sold out before it even came out. You couldn't reorder it. It was done before it actually was on shelves.
No way.
That's how big Kirkman is. Yes, half of it is people speculating that everything he touches is gold and will become the next Walking Dead $1,000 issue. This is different, of course, but it is a good sign that everything just sold out. So, we'll see. This book is about demonic possession. The main character, as a child, his mother was possessed by a demon. You find out later in the issue his wife was possessed by a demon. And he ends up helping the priest that helped him when he was younger get a demon out of a small child that lives in the neighborhood. The thing is, his life is completely ruined because everyone thinks he beat the living shit out of his wife. He was actually getting the demon out of her.
Is that how when wife abusers are like, oh, I was getting a demon out of her. It was totally
girl fun. Had the devil in her. Oh, had to beat it right on out.
So.
I feel like now all the wife beaters have a line.
They do.
They can
you gave it to them.
I
gave it
to them. Beating the demon out of her.
Kirkwin gave it to him.
So that is your basic, very basic description of this book. This guy's life is in the complete shitter. He's got no food in his fridge. His sister comes over and is like, can you please let me take you home with me? And like, her husband hates him. He's a cop. Mm-hmm. She's married a cop. Hates him because he believes that he saw the whole thing. He believes he beat the shit out of his wife. They took his little girl away from him. Like, emotionally, he is fucked. Like, he's so fucked up in his head. And like, his whole house has gone to shit. His life has gone to shit. There's cockroaches in his house. There's things like that. His sister hasn't given up on him, but he just wants to distance himself from everybody. So they show you a little bit of the demonic side of this. They show you the possessed child. It's very Exorcist on purpose. You don't get a lot more than that in this first issue. There is a great... the final page is just a written page from Kirkman just saying, I want this book to be scary. I want you to look at panels and say, fuck, that's creepy. He's like, there's one panel of the little boy who's possessed in this. It does look kind of terrifying in a way. He's like, Walking Dead has never been really a horror comic. It's a survival comic. Yes, gruesome shit happens, but it's not really a horror comic. He wants this to be a horror comic. So we will see where this goes, but I enjoyed this book. I thought it was really good. I don't know that it's that next Walking Dead. I don't know that it's the next Invincible. He's done 1,000 books that have not gone anywhere as well. So we will see, but I did enjoy this a lot. If he can pull off the horror aspect he wants, this will be good. And the art is fantastic. So, nice. There's that.
Is it in your bin?
It is in my bin.
Okay, so now you can get number 2 as well.
I can. And I shall.
And I shall. All right. Hulk versus Iron Man.
Talk about it.
Original Sin tie-in.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just interjecting that I read it as well and loved it. It was awesome.
It was good. I liked it a lot. It gave more background about Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, which I never really knew they had an interaction, but, you know, just kind of like Reed Richards and Dr. Doom, which his real name is
Victor
Von Doom. Yeah. So it's kind of has that similar feel to it, actually. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to Reed and Victor as it is to now Tony and Bruce. And... you know, it is what you think it is. I'm not going to tell you, but it is what you think it is. And I like the way that...
Tell him.
Okay.
Tell him.
So Iron Man...
It's basically, an indie podcast.
Well, okay. I can't really... I can't actually make this claim because it could be wrong. But
what
it seems like so far is that Tony Stark sabotaged the gamma bomb that created the Hulk.
Okay.
Because they were having like a pissing fight, basically, two guys. And one guy was like, oh, I'm smarter than you. I'm smarter than you. And, oh, well, you're rich and you're spoiled. Like, oh, well, you're not cool. And so they...
That literally is the sum up of what happened.
Yeah. And so because of that, because of the eyeball exploding from Original Sin...
Right. The Hulk knows.
The Hulk knows now that... No. So what happens is that the Hulk has Stark's memories and vice versa. Mm. So he doesn't remember... So he wouldn't really know that as a per se. He just sees his memory. And so what you see in the last couple pages is Banner doing some stuff, trying to figure out what the hell happened. And he keeps getting flashbacks of memories that aren't his. And he's like, but I wasn't at... First, he's like, I don't drink. And I wasn't at that time and place. And those aren't my hands. Mm-hmm. And then whoever was at that place doing that stuff with the bomb picks up the glass of alcohol and starts to drink it, you can see the reflection of their face in the alcohol, which looks like Tony Stark.
Hmm.
There is like a couple panels of fighting right now between Hulk and Iron Man, but it's more about the background history. And also, for those who aren't caught up on the Hulk stuff right now, which I'm not, so I don't know Hulk's current mental status, he's apparently now in the... I'm also smart and strong. So he's in that Bruce Banner / Hulk mode where he can actually think. He's not completely, arr, that's all I do. So I think it's going to be good. And Tony so far has been very much like, I deserve to get my ass whooped. So,
nice. Which is a rare thing.
For it him. Is a rare thing. Mm-hmm.
And for those who want to read this, it's Original Sin 3.1.
3.1.
And it'll run up to 3.4. They'll be coming out every other week, I think, to coincide. I know the 5.1 through 5.5 Thor Loki stuff will happen, I think, this coming week.
All right, with Thor's sister.
Right. Which I love. I think that'll be good. Mm-hmm. And if not, whatever. Fuck it.
That's it.
That's it? Mm-hmm. All right, my last one. Bam. Rocket Raccoon, number one.
I thought about picking that up. I'm glad you did.
I did. I like Scotty Young's art. You have to like his art to read this. To read this. I know Leander doesn't. Yeah,
if the cover's Scotty Young is the cover anything like the rest of the book?
Yes, it's the whole book is like
then
that.
No.
It is that cartoony
Earthworm Jim.
It's half Earthworm Jim, half Calvin and Hobbes. That is this guy's style. He's had a variant cover for just about every book ever Marvel for the past like year, including Infinity. He does like the baby versions of them. There was a lot of those on character on different variant covers. This book is his first book in a while that's been all him. And I like his style. Like I said, it's that cartoony style. And the story is Groot is in the middle of a wrestling match during the whole thing. Rocket is trying to save somebody. And once he saves her, he's trying to pretty much get with her. And it's this weird... He ends up getting arrested by the police that are there. Shut the fuck up, Schuster. It's very comical. It's the comical Guardians book, where he's trying to talk to Star-Lord, and Star-Lord's being chased by a giant fucking monster off a cliff. Things like that. So they're trying to figure out who's trying to get Rocket. You find out at the end of the story, it's pretty much all of his ex-girlfriends banding together to try to murder him. It's silly. It's dumb. It's exactly what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be taken too serious. It's just a little fun aside kind of thing if you're into Guardians, which a lot of people have been getting into. And the book is good. I mean, Bendis is writing it. So if you like Rocket Raccoon, if you want to just check out one issue, that's the kind of story it is. It's a fun, not childish, but just fun, happy-go-lucky kind of story. And I liked it. I don't know that I would be down for too much more, but I enjoyed it. I wasn't I wasn't insulted reading it. I thought it was fine.
But yeah, I'm not normally a fan of that art, but I mean, it definitely is Earthworm Jim all day.
How many issues you think it has in it? Let's be honest, 9?
With the movie coming out, it'll probably run 12 issues before it gets rebooted with a brand new number one.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, yeah. I flipping through it just now, I was not offended by that. It was fun for to look at. I'm like, all right, I could read this and be okay with it.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't fucking amazing either. If you really want to get into Guardians, read Guardians,
right?
And go see the movie, which will be fun. Okay. Guardians is a fun book now. It used to be a serious sci-fi, and nobody really gave a fuck about it back then.
Right.
So enjoy it for what it turned into.
Nice.
Lou Escoles, what's your other book?
It's not important. I just grabbed it because I already bought it. The all-new X-Factor. And I know you canceled yours, right?
I canceled it. I'm like, I got so much shit in my bin. I'm not super impressed with it.
Right.
I'm not, upset I'm not getting it. I'm totally fine
right,
with
you're
it.
Fine
I
with
did
it.
Like it. But right. Go ahead. Tell me what happened.
I just like the... I don't know. I'm going to stick with it until it runs out because it's just fun enough to read. Mm-hmm. There's enough depth to it to make it interesting that I don't want to get it out of my bin just yet.
Okay.
So there's some really cool stuff. It gets a little bit deeper with Gambit sleeping with the boss's wife and how that all plays out because the boss finds out about it in this issue. Mm. So at the end, they're all being surrounded by the big mega villain or whatever, and then the boss is like just found out. Like, he was like, oh, I just found out that Gambit slept with my wife. Okay. So they go to the fight. Everything's about to happen. Huge, big guy's about to come A-bomb the whole team. And Gambit's like, oh, well, we'll see you later. And then everyone gets teleported except for him. He gets left behind because the boss man doesn't teleport him in. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, a little funny, comical. But also, I'm really interested to see where Danger goes. This is the best I've ever seen Danger as a character. And I just agree. I don't want to leave her just yet because she was so good in the first couple issues.
I agree.
I think I'm staying on right now because of Danger and Gambit as of right now. Because
he's irresistible to women.
Yes.
The quote from the last book.
That is, not having read it though, I love, that's comics to me. It's when there's you know, awkward social situations that happen while, like, you know, the city's being threatened with destruction. Like, that's so cool. Right. They have to deal with, like, you did what?
Yeah.
And then we still got to work together. You exactly. know, it's like more that's interesting
what,
real life.
That's what this book entirely is about, 100%. I mean,
it's the corporate X team. It was such a good addition to the mythos of X Factor.
Right.
Basically, and it's still Peter David, so it's good.
What Lou just said encapsulates every single issue so far, actually. Mm-hmm. Exactly what every issue is about is what you just said. That's why I think I'm keeping it for a little bit longer.
I just wish I liked the team a little bit.
I know.
I don't care about Warlock. Danger's been good. At first I was like, eh, whatever.
Right,
but
right.
No, she's been great. Gambit's been good. He hasn't always been good.
Mm-mm, he's good in this one. Polaris is good.
Polaris is good, yeah.
She's just crazy enough. And Quicksilver, you know. Oh, I think another cool thing, too, is I don't know much about Quicksilver's life, right? But I know that he had a kid at some point. But I didn't know what happened to his kid or whatever. But anyways, it seems like in one of the upcoming issues, the kid's back.
Oh.
So, that'll be pretty cool to see.
Gotcha. He's fast and has magnet powers. Hex powers. Everything.
It's a daughter.
She's got all of that. And she's a dude. Hermaphroditic and somehow child.
That's enough.
Mutant. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Lou.
Your book.
All right, I'm going to throw this motherfucker way off course.
Derail this.
Because not only
shit.
Is this book not new, it's also not. It's also an indie book. So it's not that old. It came out about maybe 2 years ago. And I first saw it on the shelf because Al, the store owner, had ordered one of his trademark indie books. And I was like, oh, what is this insufferable indie whiny crap? But I saw it and I started flipping through it, and it's called Paying For It. And once I started reading it, I couldn't stop reading it, and I read the entire thing. And it's not a small book. It's probably about, you know, 100 pages. So it's called Paying For It by a guy named Chester Brown, and it's billed as a comic strip memoir about being a John. So it's this guy who, in the first couple pages, breaks up with his girlfriend. Actually, she breaks up with him, and he says, you know what? I'm done with this whole relationship thing. I'm going to try to get into prostitution. So
logical steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and this guy, like,
we've all been there.
Yeah. Apparently he draws himself pretty accurately. He's, a Poindexter. So, but it's just so interesting how this guy goes from, like, yeah, I'm this indie comic artist who's, like, getting with this girl and I was in a relationship and now it's over, to how do I go about getting hookers? Because he starts at square zero where he's just like, so, hookers are a thing. And he lives in Canada, so it's legal. And he's like, but how do I... Well, certain aspects of it are legal, and it kind of gets into that in the book. And he's like, well, how does me, a nerd who just got dumped, go from just being this guy to a guy who solicits hookers all the time? And it's fascinating. I couldn't stop reading it.
So he's not trying to be a hooker.
No, he doesn't want to be a hooker. He's like, I'm finished with traditional romantic relationships.
Okay.
I just want to get all my fulfillment out of
hookers. That makes more sense now. Living a life of prostitution.
No, he does not himself become a prostitute. Okay. He just utilizes their services.
That's the next book.
But yeah, it's really interesting, and I was surprised that I liked it, but it was, like, honest and well written. Mm-hmm. There's no superheroes in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's if you just kind of like reading stuff that's a little more indie, you know, and some of them, I'm hit or miss with indie books, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they're very
they can be really, like, whiny and emo, I guess, for lack of a better descriptor. But if you have a guy who can tell a good story, even if something as offbeat as this, you know, it can end up being really cool. So I liked it. I couldn't put it down. So it's called Paying For It.
And he's done a bunch of books, hasn't he? I think, Chester Brown?
Yes.
He did the Playboy. He did some other stuff.
Yeah, he even makes mention, because it is autobiographical, so he even talks about telling the prostitutes he's with that, you know, this is what I've done, and he, like, gives one of them a number one of something he did. So.
Nice. That's really interesting.
cool.
I need to pick up more indie books and some other alternative stuff.
Al tends to pick good indie books. It's just you got to be in the mood for them. Mm-hmm. You really do. Because some of them, it's like you got to grind through a few pages to get to the good parts.
The Massive? I can't. I'm still trying to deal with
that. I don't even think The Massive counts. That's no. Dark Horse. Well, no, that's not an indie book, right?
Yeah, it's Dark Horse.
It's Dark Horse.
All right.
Doesn't count. Dark Horse no longer
doesn't
counts.
Count.
Counts to me.
It's Brian Wood. He's saving Jubilee. What do you want, man?
A lot more.
I'm sorry. Greedy motherfucker. It's hot. What else do you have, sir?
I didn't know if I was going to do this or not, because I'm not done reading it, but I picked it up just because I wanted to talk about today and then didn't end up finishing it. It's a full graphic novel. I'm not even sure if it came out in issue form. It's released by DC, but it's Harlan Ellison, who is a science fiction writer. He does more short stories. He has a couple novels. But every once in a while, he's dabbled in comic books, either having one of his stories adapted or sometimes doing original ones. And I believe this is an original one. It's Harlan Ellison's Seven Against Chaos. And I just picked it up because of the name. His short stories are really good. I'm a huge fan. I think he's probably one of the best sci-fi writers of the last century. Unfortunately, one of the best things he's known for is writing the original Star Trek episode, City on the Edge of Forever. Mm. But, again, that was, like, in the 60s. He's done so much work since then.
Right.
And he'll always be before then. But that's what, if you say the name, most people know is his claim to fame. Mm-hmm. Which I think they're actually going to release his original scripts of that as a comic.
I think it's IDW.
IDW, yeah, that sounds right.
I believe
right. So they're going to do his original scripts for that. But this is called Seven Against Chaos. And as with everything he does, like, he's really good with, like, plot. You know, it's just, it's very cool. It's basically this, it's not the most original concept. It's a guy who goes around the solar system gathering a team for a mission. So the characters are pretty cool. There's a robot. There's a...
that's all I wanted.
Yeah, there's a robot. There's a lady with kind of fire powers, but if she ever touches human skin, she just dies instantly. So whoa. She has to be really... they say she has to be really fast. She's called a phoenix. So she has powers of fire, but instantly dies. So
weird. I like it.
Is, yeah, it's really a good kind of weird.
Yeah. So I mean, there's cool concepts for the characters. The plot seems it's something to do with saving Earth. Something's going horribly wrong on Earth, but this guy's going around the universe collecting these like cool characters, and not really explaining much.
Are they a hodgepodge character, or do everyone know each other?
No, they're all from different planets.
Okay.
I like that and stuff like that. So there's a lot of cool sci-fi stuff in there.
The art looks cool.
Yeah, the art's not bad. One interesting thing was this mysterious robed guy. He knows who to gather because of fifth generation computers, which he describes as computers that have been made by computers that humans can't figure out how they work yet, and they can predict the future. Which I thought is a really cool concept, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. one of his strengths.
That's where we're heading.
If there's anything, you know, all that all said, I wasn't really blown away by it. I think because, you know, he's old, and so the dialogue, the dialogue's a little dated.
Oh, snap.
It's a little bit
ageist. Ageist, not, you are
only in an ageist, as in he's still writing dialogue like this comic came out in like 1972. You know what I mean? Okay, so sure, it's. Sure. While the concept is cool, the characters are cool, when they talk to each other, you feel like you picked up, like, you know, a World's Finest from, like, 71 or something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. which, you know, some people have no problem with. I have just gotten kind of used to the character development and interactions of modern comics, and it's really hard for me to kind of go back to that style, but I'm going to finish it. I think it's definitely worth finishing and probably worth picking up if you're into more sci-fi mm-hmm. and space-oriented comics.
The classic sci-fi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely a lot of kind of Asimovian themes and stuff in there, which, if that's even fair, I mean, he's got his own backlog material at this point that he can draw from, so.
And if nothing else, watch that Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love the concept. There's no doubt about that. Like, that's one of the reasons why I picked up and read and continued to read until the end Stephen King's Dark Tower. Because it's the same kind of concept. You have this gunslinger who needs to go back in times of different eras of New York and get a person from that era to help him fight this big ultimate monster at the end. But I think that I like that it's a hodgepodge of characters and they all have their own special talents. And I'm always for Friends Against the World books, especially if they're like B-class characters. You know, those are even better, I feel. Like, if they're not too overpowered, then that's even better, I think. So I feel like that's what that could be like.
Yeah. When you say you're in the Dark Tower, are you the comics or the novels?
The novels.
Okay, good. Read 1-5 and then stop.
Of the comics?
Of the novels.
Of the novels?
Yeah.
The actual book.
Did he finish it?
I've already finished it.
Oh, you read it all?
I've already finished
it. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, okay,
You
know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That bad?
Oh, man. Stephen King was in the book. That's the worst. I mean, that's enough to tell you.
Yeah. No, he did
the first four when he was, like, you know, a coke fiend.
It was young. It was good.
And they're great.
Yeah.
He took a huge hiatus, and then he did book 5, which I enjoyed. It's pretty much a point-for-point plot rip-off of, like, the Seven Samurai or the Magnificent Seven, which is a big, you know, problem people have with it. But as far as reading it, I really liked it. And then it seemed like he just rushed through book 6 and 7 to get
painful.
It done.
It's painful.
And it just really goes downhill. But that said, as a... having been a fan of at least most of those books, when they came out with the graphic novelization or the issues of Dark Tower, I really liked the first run. I thought that it was kind of a cool, well done, almost behind the scenes sort of take on it. And I love Jay Lee's art.
Fit it so well.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the book. And but then they kept cranking them out, and then they started having the other writers take some liberties with it, and it just became fan fiction, which I can't stand.
Yeah.
And then Jay Lee was eventually off the book, and then they just got people to kind of mimic his style, which I also hate, where it's like, if you're changing artists, just change an artist and let them do what they want to do. But they try to make it look exactly like...
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
What he had done.
I didn't want to pick them up because I like the book so much. I was like, oh, I don't want to pick up this comics. This is going to ruin what I like about the book. But I did see that it was coming in the background. It seemed like it was more like in the back when Roland was younger, so that's what I assumed.
Yeah,
it
happens
about.
Like around like book 4.
Okay.
Like so actually the first run is just book 4, but kind of told a little bit differently. And I would still recommend that. I would say if you're a Dark Tower fan, get the first Gunslinger Born. And it's pretty faithful to it, and like I said, the art's real well done, and you get to see a little bit that you don't see in the novel, like kind of from different characters' perspectives. But
that's
after that,
cool.
You can
like
pretty
that.
Much just skip
it. Is that
it.
A trade?
Yeah.
All right, let me pick that up then.
Yeah, they're all in trade. There's like 10 of them. It's absurd.
Yeah, the but first... I only want that one.
Yeah, the first one's the one to read.
Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if he rushed it, because I know he would always get letters, actual letters, like pen and paper letters. He would get letters all the time, like, from old people, like, can you finish your fucking thing that you started a bazillion years ago? Because I want to see how it ends before I die. Like, apparently that was a thing. He would get letters all the time from, like, older, dying, 10 years left to live kind of people.
Yeah, that's not fair either, though, because then they pressured him into it, and then they got a pile of steaming crap.
And then he gets blood letters. What, you fucker?
Yeah.
Like, this is the last thing I read before I die? You can't win.
Yep.
You can't win.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Anyways, yeah, beyond that, that's it. I'm looking forward to doing my first con at some point in time. Soon, and hopefully the podcast will be there as well. So we'll announce when that happens, and you can come visit us and say hello.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Like I said, capesandscowlspodcast.com. We'll get the emails and everything ironed out, the iTunes ironed out. We'll have everything hopefully 100% correct. It may be by the time this is put up, but it'll definitely be good by next episode. So thank you for listening.
Love you.
Leander loves you. Lou, you loving anybody?
Nah.
Just himself. Schuster?
Yeah.
Never mind.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!